Title of today's sermon is Holy Spirit in You, Part 3. The final part of the three-part series. Yes, go for it.
Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's, who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Amen. That was so comforting. Yeah? The Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. You know, I like the way he called it, the Helper. Your helper. You need help. Say, I need help. In this life, I tell you, you need help. If you don't realize it yet, wait until you grow older. You need what? You need help. And you have divine help. Not just in heaven, but actually sent you an help that can live inside you and be with you all the time. That helper is who? The Holy Spirit. Say, the Holy Spirit is my personal helper in life. Amen. Yes, New Living Translation or ESV, John 14, 22 to 26. Who is ready? Quickly. John 14, 22 to 26. Yes. New Living Translation or ESV.
This is New Living. Okay. So John 14, 22 to 26 says, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me, and remember my words are not my own. What am I telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Amen.
Amen. See, New Living calls him what? The Advocate. Yeah? You know, like when you're in trouble. Amen. I don't pray that you be what? In trouble. But when you're in trouble, what do you need? You need an advocate. Amen. Someone who can stand, yeah, beside you and help you plead your case well. Amen. He's the advocate. And he says that he is my representative. Amen. The Holy Spirit has come to represent Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit is, it differs to Jesus. Just like Jesus differed to the Father. Amen? And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are all playing unique roles in your life. You need each of their individual ministry to have a complete encounter and experience of God. Hallelujah. If all you are doing in your life is just praying to the Father, that's good, but it's one leg of the stool. Amen? If you are doing all in your life, you're just reading the Bible and meditating on the word, that's good. But that's just another leg of the stool. You need the third leg to be balanced. And that is the fellowship or the communion or the partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that actually walks the journey with you day to day. Amen? Because why? He is in you. The reason why he is in you is to help you walk the journey. Hallelujah. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You chat. Amen? Long before WhatsApp came up. Amen? God already gave you what? Personal system for chatting. It's God in you. He is the Holy Spirit. Let's have Amplified. Amplified. John 14, 22, 26. There's a reason I'm taking you there. Yes, who has Amplified? John 14, 22, 26. Did I see a hand? Yes, thank you. Thank you for understanding the spirit. John 14, 22 to 26.
Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, what has happened that you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. One who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but is the Father's who sent me. I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, and Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you.
Amen. And the reason why I gave you the Amplified is Amplified reveals to us the roles of the Holy Spirit in sevenfold. Amen. Sevenfold. So let me now ask a question, and I've given you the answers, so I just want to see how you're engaging. And the question is this: what is the role of the Holy Spirit in you? What's the role of the Holy Spirit living in you personally? What is his role? Why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit? Now, of course, when I say the Holy Spirit living in you, it's based on the assumption that you are born again. It's based on the assumption that you have committed yourself to Jesus. Not just that you believe, yeah, but you have what? Committed. I explained to you 2 weeks ago that if you believe with your head, you're just agreeing. You can agree without committing. But when you believe with your heart, you are what? You are committing. Hallelujah. You are not just talking the talk. You are going to what? Walk the walk. You're going to follow Jesus. Yeah? There's nothing like, there is actually, but it's leading you to nowhere. To say, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not interested in being a disciple. You are going nowhere. Hallelujah. If you believe in Jesus and you don't want to be his disciples, you are going nowhere. The reason why you are going nowhere is that you are not interested in following him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you believe in Jesus, but you don't want to be his disciple, what you have just told us is that you don't want to follow Jesus. So you are not on the way to heaven. Hallelujah. To be on the way to heaven, you got to what? Follow Jesus. John 8:31. Yeah? He said, if you continue in my word, or you continue in my teaching, then you are my disciples indeed. And 32 now says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you got to believe, you got to commit, you got to continue. Follow Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you've done that, he sends this Holy Spirit. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ's commitment to you. You committed to Jesus, he gave you a down payment. That down payment is the Holy Spirit in you, living in you. Question again. What is the role of the Holy Spirit living in you? He has many roles. Yes? Ready giving the answer. So start. Just tell me only one. The role of the Holy Spirit living in you. Who is ready?
He's
what?
He's
a helper. No. Can you make it personal? He's what?
My helper.
He's my helper. Amen. He's what? My helper. That's powerful and it's comforting. Yes, more? The Holy Spirit living in you, what is his role?
My counselor.
He is your counselor and my counselor. Amen? Yeah, well, who is a counselor? Let's just be clear that you understand that. What does it mean? I guess we probably all understand what it means to have the helper. Yeah? Whichever way you like to interpret it. Is what? Your helper. But what does it mean that to say that the Holy Spirit is my counselor? What does that mean to you? Yes, somebody? Somebody who has not spoken? What does it mean to say that the Holy Spirit is your counselor? Excuse me, sir. Are you? Yeah? Yes? What does it mean to say that the Holy Spirit is your counselor?
Advisor.
What?
Advisor.
Advisor? Yes? Yes? More? If the Holy Spirit is your counselor, what does that mean to you?
Comforter.
Comforter, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that one.
Someone that clarifies things to you.
Clarifies. Advice. Any other one? There's more. There's something. There's a reason why I'm going there.
Put in the right direction.
Yes. Yes.
someone that has a personal investment for you to make the right decision?
Yes, the personal investment to help you make the right decision. The Holy Spirit in your life to what? To help you make the right decision. Without the Holy Spirit, you will make some wrong decisions that may take you 5 years to rectify.
He is my intercessor.
He's your intercessor. That's another role. So we have had two roles come out from that question. We'll come to that. Yeah. But there's an answer I'm looking for counsel I've not gotten. Let's get here first.
Makes the will of God known in your life.
Yes. I'm actually looking for a word, just one word that you can replace counselor with. Yeah, no, just a minute.
Guide.
Yes. Absolutely. Guide. Very good word. Guide is good.
Teacher.
That's the one I'm looking for. Teacher. Amen. Is what? Is your teacher. The Holy Spirit is what? Your teacher. And Jesus said, when he comes, he will teach you. Hallelujah. He will do what? He will teach you. He will teach you all things. All things. Including when you are cooking. I'm not saying that you will say, you know, I'm not saying that you've never cooked a dish yet, and you say, Holy Spirit, now I'm just going to experiment, teach me everything. No, no, no. I'm saying that you are cooking, and you just don't know what, you get to a moment, you don't know what to do. You get to a moment, you just don't know exactly, should I put this, should I change this, what should I do? Ask the Holy Spirit! You will never experience it if you don't try it. And I've lived many years doing that, and it works. Ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, what can I do? You are at the bus stop, yeah? And the bus has been cancelled. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what should I do now? Should I wait or should I walk or should I call my daddy? Amen? He will teach you. He will teach you. You are in a difficulty. You don't know which way to take. Someone said he's your guide. Yeah? You are at a crossroad. And in life, there will be moments you are at a crossroad. You know what to do. You are presented with two options. Yeah? You don't know what to do. Ask the Holy Spirit. Because then if you don't ask, you know what? You don't receive. Amen? You say, but the Holy Spirit is leaving me. Why doesn't he just guide me without me asking? Let me tell you why. One of the reasons. He can actually guide without you asking. But many, many, many times, the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Spirit is a dove. Yeah? It's gentle. It's not forceful. When the Holy Spirit is in fellowship with you, he is what? Like a dove. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit is very powerful. When the Holy Spirit is in power, he is very powerful. But in fellowship, he is what? He's gentle. Amen? So when you don't ask him, you are ignoring him. Hello? You put him in your nice guest room. Yeah? And you just locked him up there. We know he's in your house. But what's the value? There's no interaction. You ask him, Holy Spirit, what should I do? What can I do? He's your guide. He's your teacher. Say with me, say, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. He's my guide. He's my counselor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, so someone said, he's your what? Comforter. What does that mean? Holy Spirit is your comforter. What does that mean to you?
He's there for me in the time of my needs.
Time of your need. What type of need can you have that you need comfort? Now, this is general. You can pass it to any other person. When you say the Holy Spirit is your comforter, think of the need, type of need you have that you know that I need comfort at this moment. Yes? Either answer that or tell me another word for comforter. Any other word for comforter? Or tell me the type of need you have. You may explain that you need a comforter. As a daily part of your life.
When I'm sorrowful.
When you are sorrowful. I was going to say what event can
make you sorrowful.
Don't think of extreme. Think of basic. Don't think of an extremely catastrophic. Just think of normal life. You know, your highs and your lows. Young person first.
When you want to have cereal, but the crunchy nut is finished.
When you want to have cereal, and your favorite cereal, which is crunchy nut, is finished. Amen. Yeah, I mean, like, you cannot underestimate somebody's, you know, feelings. Yeah. That can be sorrowful. That can be painful. But if you planned and banked on it, yeah? I mean, you saw it there the night before. But before you got there in the morning, it's gone. Yeah, that can make you sorrowful. Yes, Mo?
I was going to say big decisions, but that's a pretty big decision. So crunching that is always an important call to make.
Okay, any more of why you need comfort? Why do you need comfort? But that's the master answer, really. When you feel low, when you feel down, when you feel disappointed, you can be let down. Not your fault. Somebody just what? Let you down. You trusted in them. You relied on them. You were depending on them. Yeah? You were leaning on them. And they let you down. Yeah? That can make you feel low. Yeah? Amen? It can make you what? Feel low. Life on its own is full of highs and lows. Not necessarily because of what you did. Sometimes you feel low for what you did. Sometimes you got it wrong. So we say, I can get it wrong. Because I'm human. That's why I need the Holy Spirit to guide me, to teach me, to lead me. Hallelujah. You see, that's the value of a teacher. Yeah? Imagine, like, you know, everything, all your studies in life, you just pick up the book and study it and understood it. Yeah? It would not be easy, but it doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. There are some things you will never understand by reading. You need what? A teacher. Hallelujah. Sometimes, some things you won't get it. If you read it, you will misunderstand it. Or you understand it, but you can't apply it. Because you don't really understand it. Until the teacher comes along and shows you how to do it. Hallelujah. And so you need the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's your hand up in terms of why you need comfort.
Yeah, I just wanted to say an example that applied to me today. I slept on my neck or something. I'd been in pain overnight. I didn't sleep. And I was going to stay back because I'm still in pain. But I believe the Holy Spirit. And I was sad about it because I feel I'm usually going through one thing or the other pertaining my health. And I was sad. But the Holy Spirit just said, you can't be at home. You have to be in the presence. I mean, I'm in the presence of God every time. But you have to be in church. And that's where you can get your healing. And I managed, and I'm here. So it just occurred to me that was the Holy Spirit that comforted me and encouraged me to come to church.
Amen. Very good example. Very good example. You need the Holy Spirit. You know, there are times you can feel sad. Yeah? Sometimes you will feel sad and you don't know why. Has that happened to you? There's even some days that you are feeling sad like all day. Yeah? It's like nothing is working well. Hallelujah. You talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit. You know, one thing about Holy Spirit is that nobody can colonize the Holy Spirit. Nobody can say, you know what, Holy Spirit, don't talk to Andrew today because I'm not happy with him. No. Nobody can do that. Hallelujah. Nobody, omnibus is nobody's dog. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, talk to the Holy Spirit when you feel low and sad. Say, Holy Spirit, I feel, I don't mean you say after me. I'm telling you what I say. You know, I say, Holy Spirit, I'm feeling low. It's okay to say that because already you are feeling it. So tell him. It's private. It's personal communication. It's a private chat. It's what? It's a private chat. I'm feeling low. Please encourage me. What do you say? Holy Spirit, what? Comforter means is your encourager. Someone, you use that word when you're describing. You encourage me. I'm feeling low. Or sometimes you don't know the reason. Sometimes you know the reason. You know, like, you know, I was, Sharon hit my cake. Sharon is not a fan of crunching at his cake. Amen. And I'm angry. I feel sad. The Spirit encourage me. He will encourage you. You know how the Spirit encourage you? He will tell you something that will help you see things differently. He will tell you something that will inspire you. He will tell you something that will show you the other side. He tell you something there that will show you the way out. Hallelujah. He's your encourager. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit just draw something in my heart. Let me take you there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a digression, but it's relevant because the Holy Spirit wants me to share it right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Yes, let's have a young person. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. A young person in the house. Yes, any young person that has not spoken today? Yes, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I hope I quoted that right.
This is NKJV. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen.
New Living, you said? Let's New King James. Okay, let's have another version. Young person. Was that your hand up? Did I see your hand up here? No? Okay. First Corinthians 10:13, tell us which version you have.
New Living Translation.
Go for it.
The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure.
Amen. You see, in this particular translation, I like the living translation for a part of it. Because when we read King James, he said it will make a way of escape. And in that sense, you are thinking, oh, God has to do something. Yeah? But the Bible says it will show you the way out. Firstly is that whatever challenge you are going through or temptation you are going through, don't think you are the only person in the world who is going through it or who has ever gone through it. Like Solomon said, King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apart from what God does, of course. God said that we do a new thing. But from the human experience, your human experience, yeah? There's nothing new under the sun. Yeah? You may feel sad, you may feel angry, you know, you may feel isolated, you may not like everybody because you're not having your way. Okay? It's not new. People have gone through it before. If you're a young person, you feel that way. Young people have gone through it before. You're not the newest young person. Amen? Yeah? Brother Nick was a young person before. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You can ask from him. Amen? You're not the only one. You're not the only one. Whatever you're going through, yeah? It's not beyond what is common to man. If you are tempted, somebody has been tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. Hallelujah. But Bible says that God is faithful. He will not allow you. That thing that is coming your way that you have to make a decision for God. Yeah? It's no different from what others have gone through before. Some succeeded and some failed. But the issue for you is that you want to be part of those who succeeded. You don't want to be part of those who failed. Hallelujah. You don't want to. Your life history is being written. The choice you make will determine whether you failed or you succeeded. And I'm not talking about your academics at school. I'm talking about the moral choices you are making with your life. It can make you or ruin you. Hallelujah. But Bible says God is faithful. So if you say God is faithful, what is faithful? Number one, it guarantees that whatever you're going through, will never be beyond what you can bear. God will not allow, something beyond what you can bear to tempt you. Hallelujah. The only exception to that is that when you leave God, when you leave where God has put you, amen? You can leave, so God expects you to be operating normally in a zone. You can decide to leave that zone and enter into a dinner with the devil. Are you with me? If you choose to go and dine with the devil, it can ruin you. God does not guarantee you that. Hallelujah. Because it leads you, in the path of what? Righteousness. Why? Well, his name said. But even when you're walking in that path of righteousness, you will face temptation. Are you with me? Because you have to make choices. Joseph, was doing his own business. Faithful servant, faithful steward. But temptation what? Came from his master's wife. He didn't go looking for it. He didn't go playing in the zone. It came. Are you with me? So we want to stay. Say I choose to stay in the path of righteousness. Hallelujah. But even when you are in that path, doing the right thing, doing your own business, trying your best, temptation can still come. But God is faithful that when you're in that zone, nothing coming your way is beyond what you can bear. God guarantees it. God knows your capacity. Hallelujah. God will not stretch you more than God will not allow you to be stretched more than your capacity. The only time you'll be stretched more than your capacity is that if you are intentionally rebellious, because then you will walk away. You will walk away from the zone that God has put you. There is no way ever you have a dinner with the devil that you will not come out damaged. Hello? It's basic wisdom. It's wisdom 101. Yeah? If you have a dinner with the devil, you will come out what? Damaged. So don't be foolish and think you can get away with it. Hallelujah. What are you supposed to do with the devil? The Bible says be sober and be what? Vigilant. Why? Why? This guy is not your friend. He is what? Your adversary. Hallelujah. The devil is what? He is never your friend. No matter how awesome looking he's looking. No matter how beautiful or pretty. In his summer dress. He's not your friend. He's your what? Adversary. Yeah? Your ego is looking whom? Even when he's presenting night, he's looking for whom to devour. Bible says, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to resist him. You don't dine with the devil and hope to get away with it. That's foolishness. Amen? However, when you're walking in the path of righteousness, you can still face temptation. You were doing your own thing, your normal business. Yeah? Walking through life normally. But you can face challenges. Challenges can come. It doesn't mean that you invited it. It just came. But God guarantees that it will not allow you to face a challenge. Yeah? Beyond what you can bear. That's not all. He said that even when you're going through it, he will what? He will make a way of escape. New King James. But the part I'm going is that he will what? He will show you. That's the point I'm trying to say, that the Holy Spirit will show you the solution. Amen? Say with me, say there's a solution to every problem. I just need to find out. Hallelujah. And many times in life, that solution will come through the Holy Spirit showing you. The way out of temptation, in most cases is wisdom. Amen? It's just something you need to do differently. It's just a step you need to take in advance. It's just a step you need to take. That step may mean different things. It could mean talking to somebody. It could mean fasting and praying. It could mean cutting off the number, blocking the person, it could mean not going to the particular restaurant or shop that is always making you spend all your money. Amen? Wisdom. Wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. That's why he's your teacher. He's your counselor. He's your guide. He will give you the wisdom. Yeah? He will say to you, you know, why don't you do it this way? Hallelujah. And when you do it this way, it will make all the difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, foolishness can cost you a lot in life. You'll be using all your energy to do the wrong thing and you're expecting a good result. It can be very costly. You are working hard, yeah, at a solution that is not the solution because you don't have wisdom. So that's why when you are doing, when you are in a situation that is challenging beyond you, a temptation, a test, a stress, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me. What can I do? This job is proving difficult. Hallelujah. This friend is proving difficult. Even this spouse, your spouse can prove difficult sometimes. Amen. As far as you are concerned, from your own point of view, maybe they are also praying and say, oh, you are proving difficult. No problem. But from your own point of view, God tells you that your Holy Spirit is your personal helper. He is personal. Yet, he is available to us all. But he has a personal presence in your life. You can say, this path is very difficult. Teach me. What can I do? The Holy Spirit will bring to your knowledge something. Yeah? That you can do different. It will not cost you too much, but it will make all the difference. Hallelujah. The strategy you are using the wrong strategy. Yeah? And you are hoping for victory in the battle. And sometimes one of the reasons why we don't change our strategy is that we are proud. Yeah? You don't want to take the other strategy because you rather do the one that massages your ego and makes you feel good. Yeah? You know why people are stubborn? Somebody tell me why will somebody invest in stubbornness like a goat? Why? Except you have an answer. Yeah? Why? Tell me any reasons why someone can decide to be stubborn. Even if they know that they are doing the wrong thing. Why?
To resist changing.
They all want to change. Yes, more. That's a good one, more.
They want to prove.
A point, and sometimes they want to put the point no matter the cost. Can you believe that? Somebody had £1,000. He's willing to waste it all just to prove what? A tiny point. Yes?
They have a very big ego.
They have a very overblunted, uncontainable ego. Hallelujah. Like Lucifer. Amen? Any other answer?
Pride.
It's pride. It's still pride we're talking about. Stubbornness is built on the foundation of what? Pride. Now, when you're operating like that, you can't really do well with the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? You will not be able to take instruction. Most of the time, the instruction of the Holy Spirit will defeat your pride. But it will solve the problem. Let me just repeat that part to get this thinking. I'm telling you for what my own personal work with God. Most of the time, when the Holy Spirit is giving you a solution to your problem, it may hurt your pride. It may bruise your ego. But it will solve the problem. Hallelujah. Like my brother said, the Holy Spirit solutions, we need you to do some things differently. And if you are resisting change, you will not be able to experience or enjoy the Holy Spirit as your counselor. Hallelujah. Because you will not take on board what he's telling you. And I told you in the 2 weeks ago that you can't dictate to the Holy Spirit. He is God. Hallelujah. He is what? He is God. Let's show you. Open your Bible to John chapter 3 verse 8. See, we are doing some good teaching here today to help you just deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I really want you to. Because when you do, you will experience what it means to be a son of God or a daughter of God on a daily living practical basis. John chapter 3 verse 8. Yes, if you have it. Yes, where's my, John 3 8. Thank you, sir. John 3 8.
New King James.
And I just want to thank you all in church, you know, for engaging with your Bible. You know, I didn't remind you, but you're doing it. Thank you. I'm proud of you. Well done. Brother, go on, please. John 3 8.
New King James. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it's everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Let's have it read again. Let's have it read again for another version, just for emphasis. John 3, 8. So you know I've not forgotten you. John 3, 8.
The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear
the wind blows where?
Where it wishes.
Where it wishes. So when we say the wind blows where it wishes. Continue.
And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
What do you hear? What do you hear about the wind? What do you hear? It's sound. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going to. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And people have asked me the question, what does this mean? The Holy Spirit is God. You don't dictate to Him. Amen? You can't counsel the Holy Spirit. It's in the Bible. He said, who has counseled the Spirit of the Lord? First Corinthians 3, I think. Who is His counselor? You want me to show you? Is there? You can't. But many times you make the mistake of trying to. You know why? You are suggesting to Him what He should be. You are suggesting to Him the solution. Hallelujah. You are supposed to hear the sound of the wind. And when you hear the sound of the wind, pay attention. Hallelujah. There is no point. You can't control the wind. You can only cooperate. Amen. You can run away from the wind, you can. Amen. If there's every wind blowing, you don't want to blown away. You need to take cover. Or you can be like a wind farm. Yeah? Put on those fans and throw yourself into the wind and generate, let the wind turn you to generate power. Hallelujah. That's how it works. The Holy Spirit is God. We yield to the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, His power, His wisdom flows in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Romans 8, 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Yes, let's have it. New King James, New Living, and Amplified. And when you're going to Amplify, go for AMP, not AMPC, AMP. Okay, tell us which one you have.
New Living Translation.
Okay, go for it. Romans 8:14.
For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God.
All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Yes, another version, New King James, King James, or Amplified. Yes, I'll come to you. Romans 8:14, tell us which version.
I have Amplified.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God as sons of God.
For all who are what? I need to just stay there a bit. I want you to get it. Actually, let's rewind. We'll come back to you. Let's rewind. Yes, let's have King James or New King James. Anybody have it? Romans 8:14.
King James.
Yes.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
For as many as what? Are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. What does that imply? Let's just follow the logic. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's try to reverse the logic. What does that imply? Anybody? Yes?
That means that if you don't allow the Spirit to lead you, then you're not a son of God.
Okay, yes, we can infer that from that statement. Any other inference, anybody? Yes.
There can be false children and there can be true children.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. There are false believers and true believers, certainly.
There can be sheep and there can be goats.
Hallelujah. You know, in the parable of the sheep and the goat, all this group of people were expecting to enter the kingdom. I want you to understand that. All of them called him Lord. He said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and we didn't feed you? When did we see you thirsty? They had the expectation. The 10 virgins, they all had the expectation of entering the wedding. Hallelujah. But the difference between their making the kingdom or not, is whether they were wise or they were foolish. Foolishness can cost you heaven. Seriously speaking. Because Jesus told us, the foolish virgins, the door was shut. And the Lord said, I don't know you. Amen. Now, but let's come at the point. The point is this. If you want to experience on a practical basis, yeah, what it means to be a son of God, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's it. Otherwise, you will not experience it. Amen? You will be in church, but you will not experience God. You understand? You will know the Bible, but you will not experience what it means to live as the victorious life. You see, to live as a son of God means that, can you imagine Jesus being kicked about by sin? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that Jesus is being, every temptation, Jesus is falling? Yeah? Fumbling and wobbling through. Can you imagine? No. Why? Why? He is the son of God. That's the point. The same thing applies to you. That when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, you will enter victory over sin. You know why? He will help you. He's your helper. He will teach you. He's your teacher. He will guide you. He will show you the way out. And I'm saying that from a practical point of view. Even the sin that trips you up, there's a way out. And usually it's connected to wisdom. Hallelujah. Wisdom to do something differently. Amen. And you just find out that you're free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, can you imagine Jesus, yeah, being sick every day of his life? Is that compatible? No. So, it means that if I'm living as a son of God, I should not be sick every day of my life. Does that make sense? How am I going to achieve that? It's through the Holy Spirit. As I allow him to help me. As I allow him to, another word you see in Amplified of the Holy Spirit, that is your strengthener. I need to talk about that. The Holy Spirit is what? Your strength. Now, brother, are you with me? He can give you strength. Hallelujah. The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They will mount up with what? Wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Romans 8:11, it says that if the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, Romans 8:11, you can check it out. He said, it will quicken. Yeah? It will strengthen, that's the word. It will vitalize your body. And he calls it mortal. You see, because your body is mortal, the meaning of mortal is that it is weak. It can be tempted. It can be weak. And it can die. That's a mortal body. So, if you are going to function as a son of God, with a mortal body, you need what? Strength. Amen? You need quickening. Not just physical strength, you need supernatural strength. Hallelujah. You may not need strength all the time, but you need strength in your weaknesses. Amen? Where do you need strength? In your weaknesses. And the Holy Spirit is your strengthener. Say with me, say, the Holy Spirit is my strengthener. So how does that work? Let me tell you how it works. How it works. When you are feeling weak, what are you going to do? You say, Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Strengthen me now. Say, I receive strength in the Holy Spirit. That's the way it's going to work. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to have it. Amen? When do you need strength? When do you need strength? I gave you the answer already. When do you need strength? When you're weak or when you feel weak. Hallelujah. Say, Holy Spirit, give me strength. Hallelujah. Give me strength. Give me strength. Sometimes the strength you need is not physical strength. Sometimes the strength you need is mental strength to exercise self-control. Amen? You know, you need to exercise self-control, you need mental strength. Because sometimes the pull of the temptation may be strong. Amen? You don't can't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Look, victory, spiritual victory is voice activated. Amen? Why the pull of temptation is very strong? Say, Holy Spirit! I know many times you say Jesus. I'm teaching you not to say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit! Give me strength! If you do it with faith, yeah, strength will come. And you just suddenly find that you can say no. You will just find that for that moment you walked away. You won't know how it happened. It's a miracle. Amen? Say, the Holy Spirit is my strengthener. Now, let me see how we do it. Then. Yes, I'll finish on time. No, I'll finish. When I say I finish, I mean I'll finish early. Finish on time is not going finish early. I'll finish early. Amen. Now, it's as many as are led by the Spirit. But now, let's go back to a young lady there to read it from Amplified, because I wanted to make a point of that. Romans 8:14, Amplified, AMP.
For all who are allowing themselves
Who are allowing themselves
to be led by the Spirit of God.
To be led by the Spirit of God.
Are sons of God.
Are sons of God. There's a key part there that is very important. The Holy Spirit is not in the business of forcing. Even if you choose to start walking on your way to hell. Yeah, you chose. You know you knew the path of life. Yeah? You know the Bible said the road that leads to life is what? Narrow. And there are what? Only few find it. So you were walking on the way of life. But it was just too narrow. It wasn't too comfy. You could not do breakdancing, you know. So he said, you know what? Let me turn back a bit and go and walk on the way to destruction. Because it's broad. It's broad. You can do whatever you like. Hello? If you want to do whatever you like with your life, which way are you on? The broad way that leads to destruction. Not just hell. There's destruction starts on this life. But the ultimate destination is what? Hell. Now, when you're on that way, yeah? The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you straight away. He'll be speaking to you, but he won't force you. Amen? He'll just be telling, warning you little by little. He won't force you. The more you ignore him, the more quiet he goes. He's a dove. Say with me, say, the Holy Spirit functions like a dove inside me. You see, he's so powerful, he's all powerful, but inside you, it's a gentleman. Amen? Outside you, he can be powerful. Yeah? He can move mountains, but inside you, he's gentle. Amen? He'll be warning you gently. He won't force you. Until you finally land in hell, he will not force you. That's the dangerous part of being led by the Spirit. He doesn't lead you by force. Hallelujah? It leads you by persuasion. Yeah? It will propose and it will persuade. Amen? It will what? It will propose. That's what a gentleman does. Amen? He's not a bully. Amen? He knows the right thing. Don't doubt it. The Holy Spirit knows the right thing and he's very sure that what he's telling you is the right thing. There's no doubt. Yet, he won't force you. So we have to train ourselves to allow ourselves to be led. That's the point I'm trying to say. The Holy Spirit always wants to lead you. Always! But it will not ever force you. And if the Holy Spirit has seen that you have the habit of ignoring him, sometimes he won't talk. You do it too, isn't it? If you know someone that every time you tell them something, they don't listen. Or if they listen, it's going through one ear and going out the other here. There's going to be the point that you will not bother. Yeah? Because you know they won't listen. It's dangerous. You don't want that with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is there really to help you, but because you have gotten yourself into the habit of ignoring him, so he keeps quiet. He can keep quiet. That Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When you grieve him, if somebody grieves you, what will you do? Where's my mic? Somebody grieves you. Well, how will you react next time? Somebody grieves you. Makes you seriously unhappy. How does that affect your relationship with them for the next time? If you have a child that has seriously grieved you, and you know how they... Tell me, what will make a child... Today's Father's Day. What will make a child seriously grieve the father? What our attitude?
Maybe he's not respecting the rules in the house.
Sorry?
Respecting the rules that you have set down.
They're not listening. They're not obeying. They're doing their own thing. It doesn't matter even that the most intelligent child, they will grieve. So what will you do?
After a while. To avoid having problems with her every time, you can shut down or him. Shut down.
Amen. You know what the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit will not shout on you. It will go quiet. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit goes quiet, you're in soup. Because you're not getting any counsel. You're not getting any guidance. You're not getting any strength. You're not getting any, what? Any comfort. Yeah? So you know the way to restore the relationship. Retrace your steps. Retrace yourself and say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. You know what? If you're going to have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, you need to learn to say that regularly. Even a billion times. It's not just about shouting a billion hallelujahs. Yeah? It's not only a billion hallelujahs that will service your relationship with God. You also need to do a billion, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. That's what we do with a friend. When your friend grieves you, what are you going to do to them? They grieved you. They went to say something not true about you around, and they were supposed to be your best friend. So what are you going to do to them?
Turn the other way.
You're going to, you know, cut them off. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be your friend. That's why he lives inside you. I know you say Jesus is your best friend, but Jesus is in heaven. Amen? But his representative is the one that lives in you. So really, it's your best friend. The reason why the Holy Spirit is your best friend is that nobody can colonize him. Nobody can convince Holy Spirit to turn his back on you. The only person that can make the Holy Spirit turn his back on you is who? It's you. It's your best friend. It's reliable. Okay. Let me see what I'm doing here. Okay, take a final question and we'll round it up there.
Thank you, Pastor. You know when you said when the Holy Spirit goes quiet, that means all his functions shuts down as well. So does that include interceding? Because he's an intercessor. So would he stop interceding on our behalf?
Amen. By the way, first and foremost, the Holy Spirit does not intercede on your behalf. Let me just clarify that. Not for your benefit, but for the benefit of the whole church. Don't think that you will sit down. You'll be watching football match, England versus whatever. God delivered me. You have now bondage. Amen. Huh? Sipping, eating popcorn, and sipping, what? The way you're doing that, the Holy Spirit will be interceding for your behalf. Forget it. Who has the problem? Is it you or him? Amen? It's like you had a car breakdown, yeah? And you need someone to help you push the car. Then you call them. They started pushing the you checked out. Yeah? You sat down with crossing leg as though they were your slave. No, he came to push it with you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, your intercessor, comes to take hold with you. He's reinforcing your strength in interceding. He's taking hold with you, not without you. The only way the Holy Spirit will intercede on your behalf, yeah, is that while you are enjoying your football, yeah, you call the other brother and say, leave your football now and go and pray for him. Somebody is paying the price. Are you with me? If the Holy Spirit has to intercede for you without you, it means that he has called somebody else to take hold with. Are you with me? But the best person the Holy Spirit can take hold with on your own behalf is you. So that when you start praying, but Romans 8:26 says that we don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Really, what he's doing is he's taking hold with you. That when we are praying, he came and strengthened you. He gave you the desire and the strength to pray well. You are planning to pray for 15 minutes, or let's say 5 minutes. But as you are praying, the anointing came upon you, and instead of 5, you've gone 40 minutes. That's the Holy Spirit as your intercessor. It took hold with you. Sometimes you're not even planning to pray, because you don't even know the problem that is coming up. But the Holy Spirit just disturbs you inside, and you just feel that you need to pray now. That's the Holy Spirit as your intercessor.